Well, Father, I just thank you for today, for this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. Praise God, Father. Father, we just ask for your anointing, that the word of the Lord will run and be glorified, and Father, that we all have a teachable heart and a tongue on the learn. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Amen. That was good teaching on John the Baptist. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, you know, we're running a race of endurance, and just put that on my heart today, and I'm going to share some things. But the Lord also had me go back into Genesis chapter 12 concerning Abraham and Lot. And so I'll let you go back to, verse 1. It says, "Now the Lord said unto Abram, get thee out of the country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto the land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and be thou a blessing." Amen. When God's behind it, it's a blessing. Amen. "And I will bless them that bless thee, and him that curse thee will I curse. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed." So Abraham went as the Lord had spoken unto him. Did you see the obedience? Amen. "And Lot went with him, and Abraham was 75 years old." Well, it's never too late. Amen. Praise God. He was 75 years old. Amen. Doesn't matter about age, does it? When God strengthens you, amen, it doesn't really matter. "When he departed out of Haran, Abraham took Sarah, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their substance, and they had gathered, and the souls that they had gotten in Haran, and they went forth to go into the land of Canaan, and into the land of Canaan they came. And Abraham passed through the land unto the place of Shechem, unto the oak of the Morah, and the Canaanite was then in the land. And the Lord appeared to Abraham and said, unto thy seed will I give this land. And there built he an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him." And I will drop down here to verse 10. It says, "And there was a famine in the land, and Abram went down into Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was sore in the land." And I'm going to go to the next chapter here. It says, "And Abraham went up out of Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot with him unto the south. And Abraham was very rich in cattle, in silver, and in gold." And, you know, praise God, we're called to be, you know, the Lord says in his word, you know, that we're rich in faith. Amen. That we're called to walk by faith, and God will provide everything for us. Amen. First the natural, then the spirit. Amen. "And he went on his journeys from the south, even to Bethel, unto the place where his tent had been at the beginning between Bethel and Ai, unto the place of the altar which he had made there at the first. And there Abraham called on the name of the Lord." And that's what we're called to do, is to call on him, to make our request be made known unto him. Amen. "And Lot also, who went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents, and the land was not able to bear them, that they might dwell together, for their substance was great, so they could not dwell together, and there was a strife." And this is what the Lord just kind of, when I read that word strife, it just like spoke volumes, and I started thinking about some of the scriptures in the New Testament concerning strife. Listen here, it says, "And there was a strife between the herdsmen of Abram's cattle and the herdsmen of Lot's cattle, and the Canaanite and the Perizzites dwelt then in the land." Well, probably they represent the demons, you know, because the demons are always trying to cause strife through people, you know. And if we submit to them, guess what? We'll be in strife. "And Abraham said unto Lot, that there be no strife." Now, this is the heart of God right here. This is the fruits of the Holy Spirit, you know. We're supposed to be manifesting fruit, you know, his fruit. Hallelujah. The fruits of the Holy Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, faith, meekness, temperance, self-control. You know, we're called to be peacemakers, not peacebreakers. Amen. And it says, Abraham said unto Lot, now will we do this? Let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdsmen and thy herdsmen, for we are brethren. Amen. Well, we shouldn't be striving against each other. You know, the Bible is real plain about there should be no division in the midst of us. But the Bible does say faction must come so God can approve those that are his, you know. Well, our Christians are not supposed to be striving with each other, are we? You know, and it's sad, but it happens all the time. It's like people don't want to catch themselves and say, well, wait a minute. I'm not pleasing the Lord in that area. Why am I striving, you know, against my brother or my sister, you know? Wow. You know what it is? People don't want to suffer wrongfully. That's what it is. People want to be, it's pride. You know, people always want to be what? Right. And so that's the reason why a lot of times people fall in their strife in the midst of us, you know, because people don't want to suffer wrongfully. And, you know, God will recompense. You know, he said, vengeance is mine. You know, if we just really believe the word of God, you know, we're supposed to be actually resting in the Lord and ceasing from our own works. Amen? And then over here in Romans chapter 13, this is where the Lord brought me to after I saw that word, let there be no strife, you know. And this is what Paul said in Romans chapter 13:10. Love works no ill to the neighbor. Amen. Love, therefore, is fulfillment of law, or to fulfill the law by the Spirit. Amen. And this knowing the season, that already it is the hour for you to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. How true that is. Amen. The night is far spent, and the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. So we need to cast off the works of darkness, the works of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life. You know, we need to cast those works off of us. Put the deeds of the flesh to death. Amen. And let us put on the armor of light. Hallelujah. Putting on the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us walk becomingly as in the day, not in reveling and drunkenness, not in chamberings and wantonness, not in strife and jealousy. There's that word strife again. But put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision unto the lust of the flesh. Amen and amen. For ye are yet carnal, for whereas jealousy is among you and strife, are you not carnal and walk ye not after man's manner? See, the God's called us into a higher calling is to walk in the Spirit and not the flesh. And over here, the Lord brought me over here to 2 Corinthians chapter 12:20. It says, for I fear lest when I come, I somehow find you not such as I would, and should myself be found of you such as you would not, lest somehow there be what? Strife, jealousy, wrath, faction, backbitings, whisperings, puffings up, and tumults, you know. Well, this should not be. Not if we're walking in the Spirit, because the Bible is praying if we're walking in the Spirit that we will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. We're supposed to be actually dead men walking around. Amen? Hallelujah. You know, Paul mentions strife as a work of the flesh in Galatians chapter 5. And, you know, we need to ask the question, are we walking in the flesh or are we walking in the Spirit? We know if we're walking in the flesh or the Spirit, don't we? We really do. Are we striving with each other to gain advantage? Well, that's sad, you know. You know, if we're putting our brother or sister above ourselves, we wouldn't have to worry about that kind of stuff because the root of jealousy is faction, you know. And we're not supposed to be jealous of one another. Amen. Praise God. We should be rising above these things. And see, one of the things about the man-child ministry, there's no guile on him. Even in the bride, there's no guile on them. Oh, praise God. 555. Amen. God. Amen. That's the Greek word for God. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Father. Amen. The Lord of hosts. Amen. But over here in Galatians 5:13, it says, "For ye, brethren, were called for freedom. Only use not the freedom for occasion to the flesh." See, there's so many warnings in the New Testament, even in the Old Testament, not to walk in the flesh. Amen. "But through love, be bondmen one to another." Be what? Slaves one to another. Amen. "For the whole law is fulfilled in one word, in the thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." Amen. "But if you bite and devour one another, look that you be not consumed one of another." You've seen that before when people are not in agreement, all of a sudden tempers are flare out and all that. That should not be. Amen. Not if you're a dead man walking around. Praise God. Hallelujah. Not if you're walking in the Spirit. Then verse 16 it says, "But I say, walk in the Spirit, and you shall in no wise fulfill the lust of the flesh." It's not in you. Not if you're walking in Jesus. Not if you're walking as Jesus walked. Amen. Hallelujah. See, God wants us to rise above, to set our affections on things above and not on things on the earth, to think on good things and pure things and lovely things and things that are good report. If they be any virtue, if they be any praise, to think on these things. The Lord is near. We're called to be gentle to all. Hallelujah. Be anxious for nothing. Amen. Even when you go into the midst of the fire, fiery trials. Hallelujah. Amen. I'll never forget, I had a prophet one time many years ago. I went through some heavy, I went through some heavy trials. I don't mind telling people that. It was heavy. And but I was putting my trust in God through these trials. And this brother, he was observing something with me, you know, and he owned a beanbag outlet, you know, one of the, well, at the Galleria down in Birmingham. And I just happened to go in there, and we got to talk, and he just asked me a question. He said, "Hey, Brother Paul, I just got to ask you a question." So this has been on my mind for a while. He says, "When you go through trials, you know you're going to go through them, don't you?" I said, "Absolutely, because I know what the Word of God says. Put your trust in Him. Put your trust in the living God. Amen. We're alive unto God and dead to sin." Amen. Hallelujah. We're dead to sin and alive unto God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Where do we put our trust in? God. We're poor in spirit. Amen. We're needy unto Him. Praise God. Putting our trust in the living God, not the God of this world. Who cares about Him? We need to put our trust in the living God who created all things. Amen. Don't you think the God that spoke the world into existence can't take care of us, heal our bodies, and bring deliverance in our life? Hallelujah. Man, we're a privileged people. Hallelujah. We have a better covenant. As like David said, we have a better covenant. Amen. Hallelujah. Then verse 17, it says, "For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are contrary one to another, that you may not do what things you would." And Paul talked about that and over there in Romans chapter 7, you know. I want to do this, but I end up doing this, you know. Praise God. Chapter 18, you know, Romans. We're not under any condemnation. Amen. Praise God. We're going to get it right because we want to walk in the Spirit. We want to walk in Him. Amen. Because it's Christ in us, the hope of glory. "But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under law." Hallelujah. "Now the works of the flesh are manifested, which are fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, no restraint, idolatry." You know, do you have idols in your heart? Get rid of them. Sorcery, witchcraft. You'd be surprised how many Christians are falling into witchcraft and the Kundalini spirit. Enmity, strife. There's that word strife again. Jealousy. Wrath, faction, divisions, no divisions. Remember, there's not supposed to be no division, not if we're walking in the Spirit. Heresies, envyings, drunkenness, revelings, and the like of these. You know, I know some, you know that, you know, I've always run across people like this. You know, it's amazing, you know. I'm just going to throw this out. I don't know why the Lord just put it on my heart. You know, I've asked people all the time, you know, says, "Well, the Bible says we can drink, you know, wine and all that." And, well, you know, it just depends, you know. Personally, I don't really like to drink, alcohol beverages, personally. But I do drink wine, you know, at communion. And but I've known some that use that as an excuse to be able to drink and get drunk on top of that and think they can handle it, you know. Well, you're just really deceiving yourself if you're doing that. Because I've come across people that smoke pot, you know, and evangelize by smoking and smoking pot, you know. I'm thinking, you know, they're deceiving themselves. They're opening the door to all kinds of demonic spirits, spirits of drunkenness, whatever, you know, the unclean spirits. Why would you open the door to an unclean spirit? Trying to prove something that you can drink, you know, that you're free, you know. Well, the Bible warns against that, you know, not to be drunk. Amen. Of which I forewarned you. Now, here's a warning about all this, you know. This is Paul under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, where God breathed out through Paul, and he as he wrote, you know. Of which I forewarned you, as also I did forewarn, that they who practice such things, did you hear what he said, shall not inherit the kingdom of God. You know, Jesus warned us not to let any man, not to be led astray by anyone. Paul said, don't be ignorant of Satan's devices, you know. We have to be very careful, you know. Some have a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. And Paul, I mean, David was talking about that earlier in the message. Amen. So there's a lot of warnings in the Bible. That's the reason why we have to really be studying to show ourselves approved, rightly dividing the word of truth. And then it says, you know, verse 22, it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. This is what we're supposed to be walking in and manifesting, love, one towards another. This is the agape love, the obedience love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faith, or faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. Not if you're walking in the Spirit, amen. And they of Christ have crucified the flesh with the passion and the lust. Amen. Then over here in Galatians 2:20 says, I have been crucified. Now, we should put our name in there. We have been crucified with Christ, and no longer that we live, praise God, but Christ liveth in us. I'm just personalizing it for us. And what I now live in the flesh, I live by faith, which is in the Son of God, who loved me. You know, he does love us and gave himself up for us. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Amen. And back to Galatians 5:25, it says, if we live by the Spirit, let us also walk. Let us not become vainglorious, provoking one another, envying one another. So we shouldn't really have any strife in our heart. You know, the Bible says we don't even know what's in our own heart, but we need to be putting in the Word of God. Through the water and hearing the word of God through the washing and the watering of the word. Amen. Being delivered from the world in this ways. Praise God, the Lord, through the shed blood, you know, took away our sin nature and forgave us for our sins. Hallelujah. Believe that. Hang on that. Believe that. Praise God. Hallelujah. We're called to walk in holiness. Amen. And then it says, Paul had brought... wrote another epistle to Timothy, you know, in 1 Timothy, and gave Timothy some instructions concerning sound teachings. And over here in 1 Timothy chapter 6, it says, if any teaches different, consent not to sound words, those of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the teachers according to godliness, he is puffed up. That's what God says. Knowing nothing. Well, obviously he knows nothing. But sick about questions and disputes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railing, there's that word strife again, railings, evil surmisings, wranglings of men corrupted in mind and berith, which means to defraud or deprive, talking about false teachers, of the truth, supposing godliness is gain, but godliness with contentment is great gain. In other words, being satisfied with what one has. Amen? If we brought nothing into the world, now listen to this, if we brought nothing into the world, that's the reason why we need to set our affections on things above. We're not to be caught up, you know, in the world in this way. Jesus wasn't. He had no affection for anything, you know, except to do the will of his Father. Amen. Because neither can we carry anything out. So, it doesn't matter. Are you seeking out the worldly goods? Are you trying to build your coffers up, you know? No. We're going to be walking by faith. We need to be walking by faith right now. Hallelujah. Believing in the Lord Jesus Christ for everything. Amen. Well, I just had a blessing today. You know, we were thinking about getting a barrel. Me and my wife had talked about it a couple of days ago, you know, and, you know, for maybe allow some rainwater to go into it, you know. And, wow, praise God, two brothers, two Michaels, actually, they just called us up and said, hey, would you like to have a rain barrel? Come on over, you know. And, heck, it was three times bigger than the one I was thinking about. So, you know what? God will take care of what? All your needs. Hallelujah. Praise God. He'll give you the desires of your heart. Amen. You know, we serve a good God. He loves us with an everlasting love. Don't you think the Father wants to take care of His children and His sons and daughters? Hallelujah. How do you view God? You know, you ought to ask yourself, how do you view God? Well, He's my Heavenly Father. He's your Heavenly Father. Amen. Boy, when I got that revelation a few years ago, it transformed my mind. It transformed my way, how I thought on God. You know, Jesus referred to the Father. He said, call no man your father. You only have one Father. He's in heaven. Amen. And Jesus is sitting at the right hand of the Father, isn't He? Amen. And we're seated with Him by faith, aren't we? Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. For we brought nothing into the world because neither can we carry anything out. But having foods and covering, we shall be therewith content. But who would be rich fall into temptation? See, that's a warning right there about wanting to be rich in things. And a snare and many foolish and hurtful lusts, such as draw men unto destruction and perdition. See, that's the reason why we need to be careful of what we're doing. You know, we work to give. Hallelujah. Praise God. You know, we're called to serve. Jesus said, I came to serve, not to be served, you know. That should be our walk. Even that's for women, you know. I mean, the Bible talks about women to serve, you know, submit to their husband, servitude, you know. Hey, you know what? There's nothing wrong with it. That's what God requires out of all of us. He requires us to serve one another. Amen. Hallelujah. Deacon. That's a word for deacon, you know. Or if you want to say deaconess, you know. Praise God. Hallelujah. It's a serve. It's to serve. Amen. To serve one another. Now, right here it says in verse 10, it says, for the love of money is a root of all evils. Are you loving your money? Are you not willing to give, you know, because, oh, you got to have that thing over there first, you know. Well, the Lord will set you up at times, you know, and to expose your heart to see where your heart really is, you know. But we need to always be ready to give, you know, and help those that are in need. Amen. Which some, reaching after, have been led astray from the faith and have pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Wow, that's not a good testimony right there. That's a sad situation. But thou, O man of God, flee these things. See, God wants us to flee these things and follow after what? Righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou wast called. See, we're called to that, and didst confess the good confession in sight of many witnesses. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. God is really good, isn't He? Amen. 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 And that also brought me to what the Lord said in Luke chapter 8 concerning a parable. So let's go there, and this is so rich. The Word of God is so rich. There's so much nuggets in it. There's so much to feed on and to understand, and, you know, and even the way I witness, you know, the way I totally witness totally differently than I used to, you know, in my early goings. And it's just being led of the Spirit, you know, being led by God, you know, because you know that God has gone before you to prepare their hearts to receive Him. Amen. Hallelujah. And if they reject you, that's okay. You just may just be planting the seeds. But don't allow rejection to bring you down. You know, I know a lot of people won't even share the Word of God because they can't handle rejection. Hey, listen, I was over in England one time. Whew. You talk about some hardness, you know. And I walked up to a young man and was sharing the Word of God. You know what he did? He did a 180 degrees and turned around and walked away. Now, I didn't have to go to Bryce, and that just means to Saint Asylum, because I was wounded. I wasn't wounded, but, you know, it grieved me, but it didn't wound me, you know. You know what I did? as I walked away, I just prayed for him. You know, that's all what we all need to do. You know, God is sovereign. He's in control. He knows who he called before the foundation of the world. So you may have just planted a seed and he didn't even know it. So just pray for him. Don't condemn him or get mad at him or allow a spirit of rejection to come into you because you just ministered to somebody and they rejected you. Well, I prayed for people and they rejected it. I prayed for somebody one time to receive the Holy Spirit. I couldn't believe it. I was in a meeting one time, and I was sharing the word with somebody else, and somebody came up to me and said, hey, this person, you know, has problems with the tongues, you know, and receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But we've been talking to him, and I think he wants to receive. I said, well, praise the Lord. Amen. Bring him over. So I said, do you want to receive? He said, yeah. I said, okay. You know, I prayed for him. He came out with a beautiful tongue. And then about 15 minutes later, because they left, you know, the two brothers that brought him said, you ain't going to believe this. I said, what? He still doesn't believe in it. I said, well, you know what? But the Bible says, let the ignorant be ignorant. You know, there's nothing you can do about that. That person is confused. There's nothing you can do except pray for him, you know. Don't let things like that bring you down, you know, if you pray for somebody and they reject it, you know. Well, you know, Jesus turned around and pronounced judgment at the end of his ministry because they heard the word. They were being healed and delivered. And they were being turned over to a reprobate mind for not believing. So just realize God is in control. You were a mouthpiece for God, and we're vessels fit for the master's use. So if somebody doesn't receive you, it's okay. I remember one time we were in a park, and we came up to a family, and they chased us out. Asked us not to. They didn't want to have nothing to do with Jesus. So guess what? We just left. We said okay. Moved on to the next one. The next one's received. That was okay. Amen. You know, didn't bring me down. I'm telling you, it didn't bring me down at all. Praise God. We just pray for them. Hey, they're angry. They have a spirit of Antichrist in them. They can't help it. That's a sin nature coming forth. You know, the demons in them recognize who we were. And they were convinced, you know, for us to get out of town, you know, get out of the situation, you know. Go to the next town. Go to the next person. Amen. Don't worry about it. You know, just go forward in the things of God. Hallelujah. Be dead men walking around. Amen. Okay, over here in Luke chapter 8, it says, now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. Amen. Christ in us, the hope of glory. Amen. And those by the wayside are they that have heard. Then cometh the devil and taketh away the word from their heart that they be not saved by believing. Wow. I mean, it was like almost like immediately, you know, they heard the word of God, but the evil one came and took the word immediately out of their heart. And those on the rock are they who, when they had heard, have heard, received the word with joy, and these have no root. So we need to be rooted and grounded in the word of God, right? Who for a season believed, and in the season of temptation, fell away. Well, you know, we must go through much tribulations to enter into the kingdom of God. And a lot of people start falling away when things are not going. They don't think you're in faith if you're going through trials and tribulation. They don't. It's because they don't know what the Word of God says or understand the Word of God. Now, obviously, it's not given to them to understand. So don't get mad at people when the religious spirits rise up in somebody and rebukes you and says all manner of evil against you, thinking they're doing God a favor. But on God's side, guess what? You're being glorified. Can you remember that? You're being glorified. On their end, they're thinking they're doing God the Father a favor, you know, by killing you or whatever, taking you out or rebuking you or whatever, you know. Doesn't matter. We have to love our enemies, you know. Slap you on the cheek, turn the other cheek. Amen. And what fell among the thorns, this is the third group, these are they that have heard and while going on are choked, with cares and riches and pleasures of this life. Well, that's what happens with a lot of Christians, you know. They're not serving God anymore. They're serving mammon. They're serving their riches, you know. They're coveting, you know, and the Bible says not to covet. Are you coveting? You know, that's what you need to ask yourself. Are you coveting? Can you not let go of things? You know, is it that much important? You can't take it with you. You know? So Wow. And so that's the third group. They got caught up in the riches of this world. That's the prosperity message, basically. And they're caught up in the pleasures of this life. You know, prestige, you know. Holding on to things. Buying more things, you know. And bring no perfect fruit. There's no fruit. There's no perfect fruit. It's false fruit. It's corrupted fruit. That's what it really is. And that in the good ground, that's the fourth group, these are such as in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, hold it fast. Praise God. Holding fast to what? The word of God. And bringing forth fruit with patience. You know, those who endure to the end shall be saved, right? And no one, when he had lighted a lamp, covers it with a vessel or puts it under a bed, but puts it on a stand, that those entering in may see the light. We're to let our light so shine. Amen. Praise God. Because light always exposes darkness. Don't be beside yourself just because somebody, you know, because you're letting your light so shine and they don't receive your light. You know, that's okay. You know, because it may be not that time, right, that moment. But you know what? Just be faithful to what God is sharing you or putting on your heart to do at that moment, you know. You know, love does cover a multitude of sins. Amen. Love on them, you know. Praise God. You know? For nothing is hid that shall not be manifested, nor secret that shall not be known and come to the light. Amen. Well, let's go back all the way back to Genesis, Old Testament, chapter 13 and verse 8, and says, "And Abraham said unto Lot, let there be no strife, I pray thee." I'm just going to reread that again so we can get back into it. "Between me and thee, and between my herdsmen and thy herdsmen, for we are brethren," because we are brothers and sisters in the Lord. Is not the whole land before thee?" Now, hear Abraham's heart. This is awesome to me. Every time I read this, it just blesses me, because this is what kind of heart we should have. If we really love one another, we would have this kind of a heart. He said, "Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right. Or if thou take the right hand, then I will go to the left." And Lot lifted his eyes. "Now what would you do? And behold, all the plain of the Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere." Well, he went to the place that had lots of water, didn't he? "Before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou goes unto Zoar. So let's choose." So Lot chose him all the plain of the Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves, the one from the other. You know what? God will give you what you want. You know, some people think it's greener on the other side of the mountain, you know, or the pasture, whatever, you know. I'll tell you, you know, if you're believing for something and God's saying no, but you keep believing for it, you know, eventually God will give it to you. I'll never forget that time when a brother shared, he knew this woman personally, and she wanted $1 million. And she was, you know, hot for Jesus, too. And she was a blessing and all that. But guess what? She kept being that squeaky wheel, and the Lord ended up giving her what she wanted, and it destroyed her life. We need to be careful what we ask for. Because we all know what Sodom and Gomorrah was all about. It was wickedness, right? I'd like to go to Philippians chapter 2, verse 1. It says, for a moment here, "If therefore any exhortation is in Christ, if any consolation of love, if any fellowship of spirit, if any tender mercies and compassions, make full my joy that ye think the same, having the same love, being of one soul, of one mind." And that's walking in the Lord Jesus Christ, if we're walking in that. That we are speaking the same thing. We are walking in love. We are of one soul. And we are of one mind, you know. We're in unity in that situation. "Doing nothing through faction or through vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, counting one another better than themselves." And that's what Abraham did. He gave Lot the choice of which way he wanted to go, you know. But Lot really chose the wrong way. Not looking each severally to his own thing, and see, that's what Abraham was doing, but each severally also to those of others. Have this mind in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Let's go back to Genesis chapter 13, verse 12. Then Abram dwelt in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain, and moved his tent as far as Sodom. Now the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners against the Lord exceedingly. So Lot was headed in the wrong place, because in the New Testament it talks about Lot daily was vexed in his heart for from what was going on around about him, you know. Wasn't too good. And the Lord said unto Abraham, after that Lot was separated from him, lift up now thine eyes and look from the place where thou art, northward and southward and eastward and westward. Now here comes the blessings of the Lord. Amen. Wow. A lot of times people are believing on some things and they come short of receiving because they get weary of well doing. You know, they got their eyes on themselves instead of their eyes on the Lord. And, you know, we're called to get, you know, to walk by faith and not by sight, calling those things which are not as though they were. For all the land which thou seest, what a promise, to thee will I give it, amen, and to thy seed forever. And I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then may the seed, thy seed, also be numbered. Arise, walk through the land, in the length of it and the breadth of it, for unto thee will I give it. And Abram moved his tent and came and dwelt by the oaks of Mamre, which are in Hebron, and built there an altar unto the Lord, because he was serving his Lord. Amen. You know, we're called to run the race of endurance. Amen. Those who are saved, those who endure to the end shall be saved, you know. And what a promise. That's a promise to us. He said to make a call and election sure. We need to be walking by faith all the time, you know. You know, but here in Hebrews 12:1, it says, therefore now we also have a cloud of witness encompassing us. Let us lay aside every weight. In other words, the weight of the world and his things, you know, and that easily besetting sin, and let us run with patience or endurance the race set before us. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, somebody sent my wife a video. You know, it's interesting, you know, that the Lord, how the Lord works things out. And there was a brother down there in South America. You know, he's a worship leader. I think some of his songs have been on David Hill's website. And there was a video behind the song, and it was showing people running the race. And obviously they ran a long race, because it was showing, especially these two women, you know, and it showed many others too. And it could have been other races, you know, that was in this video. I really don't know. But you get the sense of what's happening. But these two women, they were coming to the, one was behind the other one, and they were coming to the finish the race, and the one started getting wobbly and fell down. And the other one tripped over her and fell down. And the first one that was before her got back up, it was wobbly and fell back down. But the woman that was behind her started crawling to the finish line. And the other one, you know, she passed the one that was before, and then the other one picked up what she was doing, because she tried to get up and she fell down because she couldn't stand up anymore. They must have ran a long race. I don't know how many miles it was. And they kept on crawling to the finish line, and they collapsed. They endured to the end. They kept going forward instead of going backwards, you know. And that's what we need to be doing, is going forward in the things of God. Amen. Because running the race, you know, well, it says right here, Hebrews 12, too. It says, looking unto Jesus, the author and perfecter of the faith, who for the joy set before him endured a cross. So we're called to endure, even endure our cross. Amen. Despising shame and have sat down at the right of the throne of God. For consider him that hath endured such gainsaying of sinners against himself, that ye weary not, fainting in your soul. So God doesn't want us to be weary and well-doing. Amen. And then Paul, you know, picks up in that too, in Corinthians 9:27. Know ye not that who run in a race course run all, but one receives the prize, so run ye that ye may apprehend, take hold of. Amen. And everyone that strives in games exercises self-control in all things. Now they do it, therefore, to receive the corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. Amen? Crown. Don't let no man take your crown. Amen? And see, when I was watching that, I was thinking about this, you know, what Paul was talking about, you know. And you know what the Lord does? He says, enter into my rest and cease from your works. Are you toiling? We need to ask ourselves, are we toiling? Are we frustrated? You know, are things not coming the way we think they should be coming? Are you thinking too much? Some people think too much. You know, some people rather stay in the negative and then the positive. You know, it's amazing. And some people, you know, put themselves into bondage. You know, through self pity. Sometimes, you know, self pity can bring you into all kinds of bondages. And being self-absorbed, you know, all the time. Poor old me, you know. See, that happens all the time with a lot of Christians, you know. And we have to press in by faith. We are fighting the good fight of faith, laying hold on eternal life. And guess what? We are in a warfare. We got to put on the full armor of God, you know. We're fooling ourselves if we don't think we're in a warfare. Satan would love to take you out if you let him. He says, humble yourself before Almighty God, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. So that's what we need to be doing. Amen? He says, I accordingly so run as not uncertainly, so fight I as not beating there, but I bruise my body and bring it into bondage, lest by any means after that I have preached to others, I myself should be disapproved. So Paul was pressing in by faith. He wasn't given no occasions to the flesh. That's what he's talking about. Amen? He was dying out to the self life. That's what he was doing. He's walking the crucified life. He got his eyes off himself and he had it fixed on the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what the Lord encourages us to do. Get our eyes fixed on him. Amen? Amen. Amen. Well, I'll tell you what I like to do is share some scriptures to encourage us in the things of God. Amen. Over here in John 16:33, it says, these things have I spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation, but be of good cheer. Amen? Because he what? He says, I have overcome the world. Amen. Greater that is in us than he that is in the world. Amen? And there, 1 John 2:12, it says, I write to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. Amen. I write to you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you have overcome. We are called to be overcomers. You have overcome the evil one, because greater is he that is within us. Amen? I wrote to you, little children, because you know the Father. I write to you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abides in you. And you have overcome the evil one. Hallelujah. Jesus said, if my word abides in you, you are truly my disciples. You will know the truth, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Amen. Believe that. Amen. Hallelujah. It's all by faith. You're believing for it. Amen. Love not the world, neither the things in the world. If any love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. See, you want the love of the Father, so don't partake in the worldly goods or partake in what the world does, you know, or even celebrate what the world does, you know. Well, I know there's some people that are weak, you know, and you got to be weak to the weak, but I'm just saying, overcome that. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. We're to serve God one day at a time, not look forward to something that's going to come down that has no fruit in it, you know. And Jesus is not even in it, you know. Most people think he is, but he's not. But it's a different sun. It's the S-U-N, sun God, instead of Jesus, you know. But a lot of people worship that, you know, but they don't ever worship Jesus during that time. They're worshiping their flesh and satisfying their flesh and walking in the flesh and not the spirit when they're doing that. Because all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, here it is, and the lust of the eyes, and the vainglory of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. Amen. He said, don't be afraid of their faces. You know, they cut down the tree, they deck it up, you know, with silver and gold or whatever, you know, ornaments, you know. Don't be afraid. That's pagan worship, you know. That's what it is. And the world passes away and the lust thereof. But who doeth the will of God abideth unto the age. Amen. We want to be with Jesus for eternity. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Little children, it is the last hour. Now, we know that we're in the last hour. And as you heard that Antichrist cometh, even now have many Antichrists arisen, whereby we know that it is the last hour. And they wrote this 2,000 years ago. I hear that they, I guess they got a new pope, you know. I don't know. I didn't really keep up with that too much. I think he's from South America. I'm not really for sure. They went out from us, but were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that not all are of us. Well, you know, that's the reason why we have to come out of the worldly church, you know. You know, the universal church, you know, which is pagan from the core. From day one, it was pagan, you know, and a lot of people are caught up in that, you know. But God is beckoning us to come out of the mother of harlots and the daughter of the harlots, the Protestant church. You know, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. And he'll be a father to us if we do that, if we obey his word. Amen? You know, God does require obedience in us too, so that we can cleanse ourselves from all defilement of flesh and spirit, perfecting what? Holiness in the fear of God. Amen and amen. And you have an anointing from the Holy One, y'all know. I have not written to you because you know not the truth, but because you know it, and because no lie is in the truth. And I'll finish with this right here in chapter 4. It says, Beloved, believe not every spirit, but prove the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. And they have. You know, some even get, you know, saved and spirit-filled, but then they get caught up in themselves and start building their own kingdom. And Jesus made it real plain. He said, many will come to me on that day and say, didn't I cast out, you know, demons and prophesy and do many works? And he's going to say, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Well, I don't want to be in that group. We need to repent and believe the gospel, just like David was saying earlier. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God, and every spirit that confesses not Jesus is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it cometh, and now in the world already. Amen. We have Antichrist. There's two men on the earth. One was, you know, lifted up, and the other one, you know, stay down here. Well, that's Antichrist, the one that was risen. That's us, you know, because we've been risen with Christ. We're born of God's Spirit, ain't we? Amen. Praise God. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is the one in you than the one in the world. Hallelujah. We have nothing to worry about. Praise God. Amen. He'll never leave us or forsake us. That's a promise. There's nothing can separate us from the love of God. You can separate yourself from the love of God. Because he doesn't have pleasure in any of them that draw back. But praise God, he will never separate from you. So praise God. Hallelujah. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world hears them. You know, the world does hear themselves, don't they? Even religion, the worldly church, they hear themselves. They hang out with each other, don't they? Amen. They reject King of Kings They're going to do the same thing that the Jews did 2,000 years ago. They rejected their king, Jesus Christ. And he rebuked them for that. He said that you should have already known the times and the seasons when I would come. But they had blindness in their heart and mind. They couldn't see it. He said, you will not to come to me. Think about that. There's a lot of Christians now who are playing church, and they will not to come to God. I mean, it's really sad. We are of God who knoweth, God hears us. Who is not of God hears us not. From this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loves is begotten of God and knoweth God. Amen? Who loves not knows not God, for God is love. Where herein was the love of God manifested in us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as a propitiation or covering for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Amen? No one hath ever beheld God. If we love one another, God abides in us. Wow, that's awesome. And his love is perfected in us. Hereby we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. Praise God for the baptism of the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues and prophesying. You know, all those who are baptized in the Holy Spirit, you know you can speak in tongues too, and you can also prophesy one at a time. That's what the Word of God says. Amen. And we have beheld and witnessed that the Father has sent the Son as Savior of the world. Praise God, he saved us. Amen. Whoso shall confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. And we know and have believed the love which God hath in us. God is love, and who abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. What a promise. Amen. So let's be abiding in God. Amen. Herein is love made perfect with us, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because he is, even so are we in this world. No fear is in love, but perfect love cast out fear, because the fear hath punishment, and who fears is not perfected in love. We love because he first loved us. Amen. Because he drew us to his Son. Amen. He knew that we were filthy rags, but that his mercy and grace was on our life. If one say that I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. For who loves not his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he have not seen. And this commandment we have from him, that who loves God loves his brother also. Amen and amen, amen.